Hello. Hello.
Hello. I've seen
you guys a lot. Really. Oh, what a day. It's just like call after call after call.
That's why I wrote Marathon Day.
Yep. All right. What time is it now? 7:30, 8:30, 8:00. All right. Yeah, it's been a marathon week and I'm trying to get like other stuff done and little spurts. Write this email. Okay, get this email tested. Get this sent out. It's kind of wild. We just got this email this evening. What's that?
So this email was just this evening. We didn't get it before.
The reminder for this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even write any of those. Those, she has a template that I wrote ages ago and somebody tweaked and I don't write any of those. Mm-hmm. I don't have to take care of that. For me, it's like writing emails for all the sweet spot people that have signed up for all the free stuff. And it's just to kind of keep nurturing them along. Those emails take a lot more work than, hey, the call's happening in an hour.
Yeah, I just got the copy paste, you know, from one of the weekly things. That was the only way I even knew about it.
So you didn't get an email for this one?
I just got it.
Oh, you mean you just got it? Usually they go like, well, we told her to do it in the morning rather than the hour before because people were saying, and I finally on my own had to figure it out, but now I know how to do it. The stuff for the texting. It was a mystery before and I'd hired this guy who was supposed to be techie and he's doing all the stuff. And I'm like, but it's not working. It's not working. Remember, like you got the best.
I know I signed up for it, but I haven't been getting it.
No, that's because he never fixed that campaign. And I didn't know how to do it. So just over the past few days, he said, I'll set up texting for you for these calls that you're doing. Finally, yesterday, and like, and then I finally went in there myself and I went, oh, it's not so mysterious. So I'll go back and figure it out over there. Yeah, he didn't ask you for your phone number. Like, duh. Duh. So we figured that out and we do have, I don't know if it's gone out to anybody yet, but the live stream, we have, on there, hey, put your phone number here if you want to get a text message.
I don't remember.
And it puts it in a field. And I don't think it's gone out yet. Lynn was just helping me proof it and to send it out. Yeah. Hi.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regarding the NEPT info. It's like I too on these site at the, what's it called? Month at a glance or week at a glance calendar, this call. But I could never find any prior information to it with a link. So is there, it seemed to me that we used to get an NEPT weekly or monthly newsletter or something.
Get it weekly.
I'm not getting that.
I had
although I did just get the reminder, because the problem is I keep having to bug Lynn Rose to send me links, and I'm trying, you know, I'm sure I'm pestering her constantly. It's like, I see a call schedule, but I have no link, so.
So you're getting, you said what's the week at a glance then? Where are you?
That's in the INE website.
Oh, you mean the calendar thing?
Yes.
So you should have, there's a page. Let me just share my screen and show
and
you.
And I don't know. I'll
show you where this page is.
Well, I get 3 weekly calendars. They all came at almost at the same time this week for
3 weekly calendars. What's that?
ET, ERC. Well, the week at a glance thing that you email out.
We don't email a thing a week at a glance thing.
Yeah.
We mean once a week on Friday.
Huh? Yeah, Friday thing. That's how I knew about this.
Okay, on Friday, right. We know once a week, and that has everything like for the
and
week.
And Susan, you are getting it. You got one on the 5th. It says NEPT news. You get both the NEPT as well as ERC news.
So this is such a dilemma because I even scoured for the last 2 hours. I've been scouring
it's showing me you actually opened it.
That is so bizarre. Where am I? What am I doing with them? I went through my trash. I went through spam. They're
okay, like, so I'm going to show you where you can find all of the links.
Well, then it's me. And that's kind of what I wanted to know.
Yeah. So go. No,
okay. Okay.
You ready?
Lynn. All right. I'm watching.
Okay. So you go to schedule.
Right.
Oh, you were looking at This Week at a Glance?
Correct.
Okay. Look at upcoming calls.
I looked at that.
It should have been here. Then there should be any PT calls.
Right.
Upcoming any PT calls. April. They're all here. April, May, June.
And right.
Right up here, it says.
There's no link to the.
There's no link, though.
There's a link. Oh, right here. Any PT site, Zoom, any PT Zoom room.
That's just it?
Yeah, and make a note to have Jazzy add an add to calendar for these. And it'll actually add a calendar. If you have a Google Calendar, it'll add them to your calendar. But yeah, that's it. You just click it. But she should actually put the actual number here. Let me see if I say copy link address. She should actually put it here.
Well, not everybody may know that you go to the same one each time.
Okay. It is the
same one each time. Yeah. Except on my calendar, it doesn't click. And it gives me an error. Oh, wow, this is dumb. This has to change, Lynn. This I'm going to put this in the chat.
What needs to change?
This Go link. It should have the Zoom room name.
Right.
And yeah,
I can't click on yours.
that link should go there.
Yeah.
If you click on that, it should say you're already in there. Let's just see.
What does it say?
It's.
Oh, there it is.
What? 87. Let's see. Let me take this number.
Because the meeting ID is right.
That's the meeting ID?
The 953718.
That's the meeting ID. All right. Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to do this. Watch this. Watch how quick this is. Who wants a demo of how easy it is to update your own website?
I'll forget tomorrow.
Yeah. Edit this page. And I'm going to go like this. So it's slow because it's sluggish in the back. But as soon as it pops up, I'm just going to put it in there. This is crazy. It'd take me more time to assign it to the web person than to do it myself. Like, that's kind of a waste of my time. So this is the why I don't like to do this, because it takes so long for the page to open. But by the time it does, okay. So if I scroll down to the NEPT part, it's right.
Go up. There it is.
See what it says this?
With the number.
Right here. Okay. And then I'm going to change this to edit. And I'm going to replace it with that. I say like that. And I'm going to put this over on after it. In case you guys want to copy paste it, I'll put this here too.
Since you're in there, can you do me a favor when you edit it? You can make it so it opens in a separate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we go like this. Do you know how to do that?
Yep, the little wheel. Yep, there you go. Yeah.
A separate link.
Yeah, so it opens in a separate page so you don't lose the whole thing. Okay, okay, so this is the NEPT thing. Let me see.
So you hyperlinked it to that number.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to.
Well, the Zoom, that Go link, but I know you don't want to use Go link.
I don't want to use the Go links. We're getting rid of those. I'm going to get rid of that. All right, and we'll do this again. Copy. Link. Paste. Save. There we go. Does it look okay to have it like that, or should I have a say what it is?
As long as it says web access, that should be.
It says web access, click here. And then, or copy.
I guess as long as it takes me to the to Zoom without doing a whole lot of other gymnastics.
No.
Browser.
I can't spell. It's not that I can't spell. I can't type. Click for web access for all EPT calls. Click. And then that. Or copy paste this into your browser. How's that? Sound good? Okay. All right. So you should be able to find it here. The other issue is, why are you not seeing the
he got it. It's in here.
If I got it and Lynn said I opened it, then it's my issue.
Let's have somebody else get into your computer.
Sometimes it's down at the very bottom of an email too. If you don't scroll down to all
that could be.
Yeah. Well, for these reminders, we send single reminders. So it's just going to say, this is your call. It's happening in an hour or 3 hours or whatever the heck. So we try to keep them single focused. And it's just because even though you might have it on your calendar, maybe you're traveling, maybe you're on your phone, and you go, oh, I want to get on that call. It's right there. So I'm always a big fan of making it easy for you to get in there, because I'm in programs where they don't even tell you.
I like getting the one right before, but I just like to know ahead of time.
Yeah. So on every Friday, just the thing that says NEPT news. This time I changed the subject line to say important news to maybe you guys will open it instead of weekly news.
No,
I said important news.
If it says NEPT is like the big bull, then I see it. Because I'm getting ERC, I'm getting INE, I'm getting all the other stuff. I just, for some reason, I'm missing the NEPT
stuff.
You would
search in your box to say, control.
NEPT news. That's what I do.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. And then here's what else you could do. This is a little more sophisticated, but those of you who know computers can do it real easily. You can set up rules in your email provider. And especially if you use Gmail, it's real easy to do. You create something called a label. And then you can set up a rule that every time something comes in that has that in the subject line, it puts it in that box. So you just have to look in that box. And that way I don't have to sort anything important, like anything from anybody on my team goes into a team folder. Anything from my teamwork goes into a teamwork thing, right? Anything from certain people goes into their box and I look at it. And other things, I just, some of the stuff I have go in boxes that I don't ever look at, like to read newsletters, to read health, to read fitness. And then someday, I'm a pack rat, so I can't delete them. There might be something important in there. And I feel like sometimes there's like, you know how you intuitively have a sense of something? I'll just open something and go, wow, that's really cool. I've been wanting to know about that. So that's why I'm afraid to just delete them and say unsubscribe. But that's a way to do it. And that way you have all in one folder and you only need to look at that when you need to look at it. But every week, the rule is every week on Friday, we do a, do you guys know about before I go on to that, I want to go back to the site. Do you guys know about the clinical pearls and where they're stored? Okay, I'm going to show you. So every week on Friday, we send out a newsletter. And these newsletters take us some work to do. So I really appreciate it if you guys read them. And the reason we send out a newsletter is to give you a summary of the week to come. Because some people like to look at that. They put it on. They don't bother. I don't watch. I don't look at my email very often. I look at my email at 10 o'clock at night and 9 o'clock in the morning, but not in between. So I wouldn't see a reminder. So what we do is on Friday, everything that's coming up in the next week and then everything in the next coming week. And then we have some ongoing reminders like sign up for the retreat or sign up for Shine or sign up for your account at the doctor's supplement store, which Angelica just signed up for. So great job, Angelica. And some of you haven't, it's certainly worth it to do, because then if you're trying to tell some people that you know to buy certain supplements, why not send them to your own supplement store? Number one, it makes you look good. Oh, look, she must be important. She must know what she's talking about. She has her own little supplement store. And number two is you get a little residual income. It's not a lot, but you get a little residual income when people use your link. I'm happy to have you use my link whenever you want to buy your own supplements, but I don't... I'm happy to have you do that because then I get money, but I would rather see you set it up and get your own account going and you have a little bit of residual income. Got it? But if you want to keep giving me the residual income, fine. Someday I'll have enough to take my husband to dinner.
I don't remember if I set it up or not.
It'll be in tomorrow's newsletter, the reminder of how to do it. And actually, didn't we make a file? Because we were tired of this big, long thing. And we just said, go here for all the information. And you can just click it and it takes you to the website.
It's under resources.
Under resources? Where does it say? NEPT resources.
And supplement. Right.
Supplement resources. There we go. Just click that and it'll tell you how to set up your own account there.
Yeah. And when I did it, and I think I had changed this to it, you just have to say you're in Dr. Rita Marie's program. And I've sent mm-hmm. them I just recently sent them an updated list.
Okay.
Because Angelica
had. You won't let anybody just do it. You have to be associated with, unless you're already licensed.
Who is it that it's going to?
It's through a doctor's supplement store. And they are a distributor for a lot of my favorite brands. So they have Seeking Health, they have Premier Research, they have Custom Probiotics, they have a lot of them all in one. Because I used to go to Emerson and get a lot of stuff, and I still do, but they didn't have a bunch of stuff, and then I have to go individually to Seeking Health, and individually to this one, and individually to that one. And when I found these guys at a conference, I started talking, I'm like, oh my God, you have all my favorite brands. She goes, yeah, and if there's others that you want me to add. So we should look at, are there others that they don't have that Wellevate carries, that so we don't have to send people to two separate places, because I think there's like three different things. There's a couple of them that won't do it under there, like Apex.
They don't do Quicksilver, do they?
They might. I don't remember. We'd have to look. I think that, does Emerson do Quicksilver? Emerson Ecologics?
Not sure.
Check them out. Oh, where's that list that we made, and we put it in Body Balance, didn't we? Find that document and share it here, and we could probably put it up here. We made a list, a spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet shows what the doctor's supplement store brands are, what the Wellevate store brands are. And you can just look at it, and you can look up any brands you want just from our simple spreadsheet. Okay? So here's that supplement thing, and it has all the stuff that you can do. We created a URL because I couldn't remember my affiliate link. I never can. So I can remember unstoppablenutrients.com. So if you go to unstoppablenutrients.com, that takes you to my store. And then you can use the phone number to call them up, and you can have a store just like this, you know, with your logo at the top and with these different categories, and you choose your favorites. Maybe you only want to show three or four brands because you don't like the other brands. That's great. Whatever you want to do, they'll let you do however you want to do it. Okay. So you'll just give somebody a link like this. They'll go and they'll see your logo at the top, or your picture at the top, or your name at the, whatever you want it to be. They'll log in or register. And when they log in or register, they're going to use your code.
The URL is what? I can't read it.
Well, unstoppablenutrients.com. And then you sign up as a, I think what they do is they sign up as a client under me, and then I don't know how that works. Lynn knows. When you sign up, you want to say that you're an INE student.
Yeah, that's all you're doing. There's a place there where you would put that in.
So they go here and they just log in, register?
Well, they don't want to register. Yeah, so they're, if you go up towards, because see, you're already logged in.
Oh, I'm already logged in, so I have to log in.
Yeah, so when you go all the way to the beginning, there's going to be something there that says register or sign up.
It says it right here. Oh, but I'm already in. It won't let me log out, so I don't know.
Should.
Oh, well. Oh, wait, here it is, right here. So you register here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it'll continue, and at some point, I guess it asks you, or you mention in the comments that you're going to be, I don't know, I've never done it. Lynn did it all for me. I'll defer to Lynn. Anyway, that's that. And then the other thing every week, not every week, because when I'm busy, I don't always write them, but I do little clinical pearls, just little stuff. Sometimes it's a book review or an article review or just a little thing. And there's a lot of really good information. And I was like, so, you know, like Angela, she just joined us a few weeks ago. how would she have access to all this great wealth of information? You know, Susan and Lynn Rose joined a year ago. There's years of information. So what we did was Francis did this for us. We go to bulletin board and then look up clinical pearls. And you will see all the clinical pearls from 2015 to 2019 from all of our newsletters. So right here, you'll see what some of them are. An often overlooked anxiety and mood swings, greens intolerance, lots of so there's all kinds of stuff that we did. So 2018. And then you don't have to go looking, what was that article she said I should look at? Back in your inbox from 3 months ago, you're not going to find it.
And if you put it in a search, it's going to take you there too?
Well, if you were to like say if I put heart health, I'm pretty sure that it will find.
Okay.
Yeah. Do multivitamins improve heart health? Eating for heart health. So it shows everything on the site that has heart health related to it. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, huh? And it'll tell you where it came from. So this came from Clinical Pearls. These others came from, you know, the Body Freedom Pillars.
Cool.
Here's another Shine. There was something from Shine, niacin, clinical pearl. So it just has all the stuff related to a particular top. If you were to type in insulin resistance, you're going to get a ton of stuff.
I bet.
One of my favorite topics. Why is it not working? Do you only get one shot? Why is it not working?
There you go. Okay.
Insulin resistance.
Huh. It's going to go overload.
Oh, it's like too many. There we go. It was just taking its time. So here we go. It's in Clinical Pearls, a fair amount. The IRSPT program, you're going to see it a lot, continue older posts. So it goes in order, backwards order. There's more clinical pearls, you know, so you can just find anything. So if you're doing research on something, you can just keep going back through the site and do a search. I just found out that works because we'd been trying to get that to work on our old membership site, the DLM membership site. And every time you do that, it was just this garbagey stuff and it didn't make any sense. So this just gets you right to it. If you click read more.
That's worth its weight.
Yeah. And that's showing you that particular one wasn't a very exciting one. Let's see that one. And then it just shows you. It's straight from the newsletter. Pretty cool, hey? I didn't want all my stuff to just get lost in somebody's junk pile in their inbox or deleted pile. So, yeah. And she did this quickly, too. I expected it to be like a multi-month project. And she told us it was finished. She's also working on something similar for all the case studies from our previous program before NEPT started. And we had a lot of case studies, and she's going through those. And we had somebody go through and categorize them like, okay, there's the stuff on hormone balance, and we want to get that done for the new ones. And Lynn is helping by taking good notes on the calls so that we know what's on there, but we'd love to have an index so that you can just go in and find all those resources. It just makes it more like a Wikipedia type thing where you can just find stuff. So
awesome.
Yay. All right. Who wants to talk about what? Who's on? Oh, we have a small group tonight. Kim. Hi, Kim. Janet. Angelica. Those are the people I'm not seeing. I see Janet there. Martha. Hi, Martha. And Angelica twice. Two for the price of one, eh? Cool. Who has questions? Who has comments?
I have a question about the blood tests. I had a client had a question about some site that was offering discounted blood work, and I didn't have time to compare to really look at that site. So what I did was I wanted to dig into what we can do on Hopkins' site, and It was a little difficult. I'm not that familiar with all of the tests yet. I'm still working on that. And I was looking at your panels, but I didn't see a panel that just kind of includes everything that you want to do if you're doing, like, you just want to start fresh, get a whole overall picture.
Yeah, so I need to update my panels. Those are panels I put together on Direct Labs probably 5 years ago. And then at Hopkins just saw what we had there and he just recreated it for me. Cause he kept bugging me. When can we talk? When can we get this up? I'm like, ah, he goes, I'm just going to take your stuff from Direct Labs and set it up. So I do want to do that. You know, from my perspective, from your perspective, what is it that you would want to see? This is a test. What is it that you would want to see on that initial lab screening?
Well, what I came up with was basically, the basic plus thyroid, the sugar metabolism, and the inflammation markers. Looking at the panels that I found on there, I didn't list everything, but I wasn't sure if there was much overlap because some
there
of those...
There was a little bit of overlap.
Yeah, that's why I'd like to see a panel that was just, okay, here's the panel for a brand new client who's going to get all their blood work.
Yeah, so I would see that this is very good because you're looking at all the basic, you know, chem screen stuff. You want to make sure that there's, in the thyroid, you want to have a more, so that's why the thyroid, right? So you have the free T3 and all that. I'd want make sure it has iron and ferritin.
Right.
And some of them have iron and some of them have ferritin, but most of them don't have both. Homocysteine, CRP, hemoglobin A1C, CBC, which is included in the basic CBC plus differential. I was shocked to find that they don't always run it with differential. The difference between is like absolute neutrophils. Who cares? Like, I don't really care. I want to know the balance between them. Do you going to make me take out a calculator to calculate what the percentage was? I was talking to somebody today and she actually had 16%, 13% lymphocytes and 78% neutrophils. Anybody have thoughts on what that is?
Maybe parasites? No.
Parasites, allergies.
Eosinophils were like a 2. Basophils were 0.5. Monocytes were 9. Let me think. What's that?
Heavy metals.
It's much more simple than that.
Dehydration.
We're looking for zebras.
Dehydration.
We want to find some horses.
Is that the bacteria versus virus one?
Oh, right.
Bacteria. I can't remember which is which, though.
Right. But her total WBCs weren't super high. They were like 8. So it was fine, right? But there, you still have to look at the differentials to see, because if she had a raging infection, her total white blood cell count would be high. If she had a really serious long-term, like chronic infection, like, you know, mono, EBV, that kind of stuff, or autoimmune, we'd probably, but not necessarily, see the white blood cells a little bit on the low side. But when we see them normal, it's probably something that's subacute or a low grade, but maybe not there for that long. But low grade, not like she's needs to be rushed to the hospital because she has septicemia, right? So when you see that high, that low a lymphocyte and that high, but good guesses you all had, but eosinophils were low, they were normal. Basophils were normal. Monocytes were also high. So that could indicate a recent, like she's just recovering from some sort of bacterial infection. Right, when the monocytes are high. Monocytes can also be high in a chronic situation where they've had something going on for a really long time. But the more, I don't know, textbook kind of approach is to look at it as relatively new. But anyway, but those are simple things that you can go, huh, what's going on? Where's the bacteria? Now, it could be with something like that. It could be something like a gut imbalance, right? Gut flora. It could be that she's got some Klebsiella. She might have some H. pylori, that's a bacteria, right? All of those things could be going on. So we want to we're going to take the lab and we want to think about it in terms of what else is going on with them to help make, you can't make a diagnosis, quote unquote, from a lab, although you can do a pretty good job of it, because then they think you're like a fortune teller. If you just look at their labs and you've not, don't know anything about it, you go, huh, you have, yeah, how'd you know that? Oh, you have to, you know, oh, how did you know that? Well, it's kind of in your lab.
Your forehead, you know.
What's that?
Just hold it up to your forehead.
Yes, yes.
A lab.
I know what it is. I know what it is. It's a phone. Yeah. So there's a lot to it, and we don't have to have labs. I mean, labs help.
Exactly. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I actually was talking to her because she was having a hard time doing assessments. So we jumped on a quick Zoom link. I helped her. That part took like 5-6 minutes. And then we looked at it, and there was all this red, and it just came out just as a natural thing. It was like, oh, look, this is red. This is red. I couldn't even remember which program she was in. She was in Body Balance, but I said, you've got something going on with your gut there. Do you have bloating? Because she's, oh yeah, yeah, you know. And it was just like looking at her assessments. Yeah, it was the body system one that just said, you know, she was red in her digestion and in her large intestine and her adrenals and her thyroid and her blood sugar. And just looking at those three things, I said, oh, look at that. You know, do you want to think about getting a stool test? Find out really what's going on. And she has been to all these doctors and done all these tests, and nobody could figure out, nobody had even looked at her digestion.
Oh, it's sad. So, that's the beauty of those tests, because, you know, if we are doing, you know, wanting to actually not spend 3 hours with everybody because they're not willing to pay you for 3 hours, we're totally willing to do it if they're willing to pay you for 3 hours, but they want the 30-minute charge for the 3-hour kind of care. Doing those assessments at a glance.
Yeah.
You can go into more depth and pull it out, but at a glance, you can see what's going on. And then all these people want, like, I want to do this. What do I do for that? I have this. What do I do? And I try to get them to the point. Like, these people signed up for a Sweet Spot literally 3 minutes ago, some of them, right? That were on the call just before, but minimally within, you know, maximally within the last week or so. And they're like jumping the gun on this and that and the other thing. I'm like, okay, follow just step by step. And I simplified it even more. I took steps and made 8 modules, 8 parts and foundations to just give them 3-4 in each one so they didn't get overwhelmed. And it's like they want to jump ahead, or they're in Body Balance. And they haven't even finished that first.
And that was exactly
that first module in Body Balance. It's so comprehensive. It touches on everything.
Yeah.
Get some of the stuff out of the way. And then they can go and be specific.
And that's where, you know, in 15 minutes, it's like, okay, your assessments are done. Where, you know, this is what's going on. Do a stool test. Where are you on the first module? And she'd done like all the way through sleep. And so then I said, while you're waiting for your stool sample results to come in, work on the elimination diet. And then on the call we were just on, there was a gal who, just like you were saying, she's like, well, you know, I'm doing this and I really want to dive in deep. And, you know, you could just feel the hyperventilation. I said,
that's why I took it.
And well, this is on the chat. This is you.
I got to leave that to you, because with a big deal like that, I can't even look.
Right, exactly. And so I was like, it's okay. We have all the time in the world. The idea is you want to make these habits, because, and this is really important for all of us, we give our clients checklists, and suddenly they see their life as a checklist. And so I'm like, you are not a checklist. These are ideas for habits. You need to drink your water. You need to move something every day. You need to try and get outside if you're not having a snowstorm. You need to, you know, and
even if you are, put on your snowshoes. Don't be a wimp.
Well, I have done that. But it's like you know, the checklists are to help you until they become established habits.
Exactly.
And so I told her this in the chat, and she was like, oh, I think I get it. It was just like, I'm supposed to be making them habits, not just checking things off to get to the next part. And it was like, yes. And, yeah. And that's so important for all of our clients to realize.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, timing wise, I have to have them figure it out on the back end. When they join, they get 4 months of office hours. So they just give it to them immediately. And we should hold that off until after the kickoff call. So then they get it, because I really didn't want those people on this call today. It was like, they didn't even get their kickoff call. They didn't get to, you know what I mean? I didn't get the real, like, here's what the program's going to be about, to give them that, you know, that bring them down off the top branch type of thing, you know, but that's the thing you find when you're working with somebody. They want to right away go, okay, so it's my thyroid. What should I do for my thyroid? We're working on your thyroid by working down here. We're working on your thyroid by working up here and here. Right. Yeah. Right. And like, I love, that's why I love telling Beatrice's story, right? Beatrice came to Sweet Spot with the blood sugar. She didn't come with, oh, well, I also have this problem and I also have that problem and help me with this problem. She just did what she was expected to do. She followed along for all this stuff. And what happened to her was her gut cleared up. Her Hashimoto's went away. Her blood pressure normalized. Her inflammation went down. She got all these side benefits of just following the program. She stayed calm throughout it. She meditated and she said, okay, I'm just going to do this. Oh, isn't it interesting? My blood sugar went up. But you know what I did? I went and walked around the block, or I went and did a 15-minute meditation and it came down again. And she just had the word that I said at the end of that call was trust. And it's really teaching your patients, clients, how to trust the inner healer. And a lot of them can't, because they've gotten bad advice for so long. And they've been doing, you know, crazy exposures that they have, and they're breathing toxic air and they're listening to toxic information, and they've lost the trust. And it's like, if I break my arm, I cannot sit there and talk to my arm about, no, heal that tendon first. I want to be able to use that muscle soon. Heal that one first. No, heal that. It's just going to do it the way it's going to do it. And what I loved was when Jane Bolts came on, and she came on a call after she said, it's so interesting. The body's going to do it in the order it wants to do it. And I couldn't control it. And when I surrendered to that, everything started to get better. And oh, a side effect. The fatty liver went away. Wow. This one, you know what I mean? And it's like, she just said, I just surrendered to, it's going to do it in the order it wants to do it in. And it may fix the big toe before it fixes the pain in my gut. And I really want the pain in my gut to go first, but you can't dictate how the inner healing is going to go, right? As long as you get out of its way. And those are our biggest things with folks, is dealing with this. And most of them, I'm just going to say from ERC, most of them have the hypervigilant SNPs. The GADs, the MAOs, the COMTs, like, they're loaded with them, right? And it's very interesting looking at, Janet and I did this with one of our ERC folks the other night, and we went through she was brilliant. She did this beautiful job of summarizing what reports he had on his genetics and made this beautiful little paper that he could read, and she put in all this information. It was awesome. And then, like, I said, this is awesome, but he doesn't have a genetic detoxification. I just wrote back and said, oh, if there's any way you can get that. And it's like 4 p.m. or whatever. By the time we got on the call, he had done it. So we just went through, without me never looking at his stuff before. Wasn't that amazing going through that? And he was like, oh yeah, no wonder. And we're wondering why, you know, this guy eats so well and he takes care of himself and he exercises so well, but he has some issues. He's heavy metals exposed on his job. He has all these SNPs for not handling heavy metals. He has acetylation defects, glucuronidation, methylation, glutathione. He's got all these SNPs that he doesn't handle heavy metals well, and he doesn't handle solvents well, which he's exposed to. So no wonder he reacted this way, but maybe his coworkers didn't, because they had different genes. And it really, I think it helped to relax him, but I loved reading it And I did the same thing. I ran my sons through it a couple of weeks ago. I'd run his, he has a full 23andMe because I ran his like 5 years ago, and I ran his through the genetic detoxification, and I'm reading it, and I pulled out my book, and I'm looking up the ones that I wasn't familiar with. And I was telling Janet, I said, I felt like I was reading his biography. Like, yeah, that was him. Yeah, that was him. And I'm like, thank goodness we fed him well and we had a non-toxic home and we were full of love and support, because this kid probably be in jail by now, you know? And now he's just this really sweet guy who plays music and, right? So it was like, yeah, 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 yeah. So it's really, I love that report. And I'll let you know how this other report is. I'm going to check it out after Sweet Spot launch is over. And then maybe we'll do a call where I'll show you mine on that report and see if it's something that some of us want to do. It looks like a nice report, but I'm just really loving this report because of the way it's laid out. And then there's a section and it says it on website. I guess it didn't make it into the book, and it was on the collagen snip. So that you go to her website and she has this whole bunch of stuff, and I'm reading it. And this is my kid who, he's always spraining his ankle because he skateboards, but then it doesn't heal for very long. And then he's off the skateboard for a long time. He's frustrated. He goes back. He has all these snips for slow collagen, slow wound healing and collagen building. So I gave him I got a couple of jugs of that new collagen support. And I had Craig brought me over. I said, which one do you want, the vanilla or chocolate? He took the vanilla and he's going to start taking it to help build his collagen back. So that's what's so good about it, you know? Okay. Anyway, enough. Anybody else? Questions? I could just keep talking.
I have questions.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm working with a client who's on a boatload of meds. And so I'm now at the point where we've kind of worked with her diet, and there's two meds that I'd like, she's willing and desires to get off of. So the first question I have is, she's on metformin and Januvia. And so I have not yet introduced chromium, and I'd like to do that. So just so that I'm not missing something, how do we monitor her blood sugar when now we're adding chromium and she's already on metformin and Januvia?
Yeah, so this is a good question, because they're gonna work together, and the beauty of it is she's going to need less and less, and she's probably going to get off of it pretty quickly. And especially if you add some berberine to the mix.
Berberine. That's berberine, right.
500 milligrams three times a day has
and been inositol.
Better. And inositol. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many studies showing how inositol with metformin makes it work that much better.
Right. And so what she has to do is be monitoring on a regular basis. And again, if, you know, in a normal person who's not on meds, I don't care if her blood sugar goes into the 70s. I care if they're on a medication, because if it's in the 70s, it's right. Just quick step. It could go down too low, right?
Right.
So you basically say, as soon as your blood sugar starts to go below 80, then I want you to go and talk to you. Like during the day, I'm not talking, like fasting, it could go in the 70s, but I would say 80s. It's a good level to keep it. As soon as it starts to go below 80,
no, she's not even near that yet.
Yeah, but then you just keep going with her. She's fine.
Okay.
And you tell her to watch for that. That's what I this one guy I worked with that was on metformin and a couple of others. And I said, you watch for it. As soon as it drops into the 70s, oh, yeah, you're funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 5 days later.
Wow.
He calls me up. He goes, I can't believe it. My blood sugar was 78 this morning. And it had been in the 220s even on metformin, and they were threatening insulin for him.
And Lynn, on the inositol, oh, I'm sorry.
Be less than, or does it have to be inositol?
Say it again, inositol.
Okay, because less than has inositol in it. That's why I was wondering if.
It probably just doesn't have as much, and it wouldn't have as quick. I don't know if it could be less than, like sunflower less than, or soy less than, or something like that.
So what would the suggested dosage of inositol be?
The form of it is myo-inositol. Let me find.
And if you missed the call we did with Fiona a couple of weeks ago, an ACR call, go and watch the replay of it, because she was in PCOS. She talked a lot about the nutrients, and she showed studies and everything with doses and stuff. I mean, it's going to be weight dependent. All doses are generally weight dependent.
Which one was that?
It was Fiona McCullough, and it was on PCOS, and it's in the ACR section. And she gave us her slides. She had some amazing stuff, and the slides are uploaded there too.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. So inositol, I don't remember the dose.
I'm looking.
Okay. And it's in her presentation, so you can look at there. And with those things, you just tell her she can't just be monitoring her blood sugar every, you know, once a week or every couple of days. Every day.
She's monitoring it daily. I've got her being pretty much on top of that. And they're trying, just through diet changes, it's trending down. I mean, the other issue is she has a herniated disc that showed up about 2 months ago, and she's actually on hydrocodone. So that's not helping.
That's going to shoot her blood sugar up.
Exactly. And because she was all freaked out, and that's exactly what I said. I said, well, A, when you're under that much inflammation and the hydrocodone, I felt quite confident was spiking her blood sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can she wean off of that?
I'm trying, working on it.
People are so afraid of any kind of discomfort that they jump on meds just...
Well, she's stretching out the time between taking them. So I'm happy with that. I've got her on a pretty massive dose after listening to Dr. Hopkins. I've got her maxed out on the omega-3s and doing some turmeric.
What about, I was going to mention turmeric. Does she have any issues with her gut? Like, because is it contraindicated to do proteolytic enzymes?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's on so many meds. It's like, I don't even know what to do with the gut just yet.
Well, I'm just wondering, though. Does she have reflux, burning sensation?
No.
Okay. So she might be fine with some proteolytic enzymes for the pain. And Transformation has a formula. It's protease IFC. And it's got some inflammatory stuff in it, but the high levels of the proteases. And that can be very helpful. But also she should be looking at what other, can she get chiropractic? Can she get some flexible extraction? She is. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Doing all that.
As long as she's doing that along, you know, sometimes you just have to take pain just to survive and live. But, you know, when you take it in lieu of getting the kind of real root cause treatment. And right. I found Cox flexion distraction technique for discs. I have had the best success with that working with people. I remember it was in the house in California, we were talking to people about putting in a pool, salespeople. They were coming over, and this guy comes over and he's in this big heavy duty brace, like not just this little strappy things, but like, I'm like, what the heck's going on? And he told me he'd had disc surgery and he was still in so much pain. And, you know, they were threatening to fuse him and didn't want to do that. And I said, well, come to my office and let's see what we can do. And I said, just give me 3 weeks to a month. And if you're not 50% better in 3 weeks to a month, then, you know, do what you need to do. He comes in and I put him on the table. I did acupuncture. I do some myofascial release techniques. I just follow this protocol from the Cox Flexion Distraction book. And 3 days later, I said, and I told him 50% improvement in a month or, you know, it's not going to get better. He says it's 90% better 3 days later. And he threw the thing away. He jumped for joy and he sent his wife in and his, because she was having some issues with her neck. And the first thing she said to me was, thank you for giving me back my husband. We hadn't had sex in 3 years. So, you know, it's a really good technique.
So this is a, spell it Cox.
Cox, C-O-X.
C-O-X, okay, that's what I
have. Distraction. Just look, do a Google search on it. You'll see it. You might be able to find somebody in the area that's certified in doing it.
Yeah, she's down in San Antonio, so I'm sure
I'm sure there's somebody there. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's great. So I've got one more question, same person. She's also on statins, and she did tell me today, because part of this is she's of the belief that she has to stay on these meds because the doctors tell her so. So she's warming up to the idea now that maybe there's another way. And she did say today that everything that she's read up on statins is not good. Like,
yay. So, yeah, when they find it for themselves, that's
to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So when you were, I was going to suggest hawthorn berries, but this afternoon Jay had mentioned that HTN 180PX, and I wasn't familiar with that.
Does she have hypertension? She on blood pressure meds? Because statins are different. Statins are for cholesterol elevations.
She's on statins for cholesterol, and she's also on blood pressure. Perhaps, or maybe Losartan. I'm not sure which.
There's a lot of stuff, and it's in the cardiovascular module. But for statins, make sure you're not going to get her off of them. Everything you're going to do is going to get her to the point where she doesn't need them anymore. But you want to protect her from the devastating side effects. So CoQ10.
Right. Okay, she's on that already.
Okay, good. As far as the blood pressure, there's a number of things, right? Heart math is huge. You know, it's like, why does she have the high blood pressure? Does she have clots? In which case, natokinase is a real good one because it breaks down the clots. And it was discovered accidentally when somebody dropped their natto. He said, I wasn't supposed to be eating in the lab, but I dropped a piece of natto on my blood plates that I was doing, you know, some experiments on. And he goes, oh my God, I couldn't believe what I saw. And so they said that started my whole experimentation into what this thing could be. And that's where natokinase was born. So it's from natto, the food natto. It's hard to get most people to eat natto. Just saying.
And potassium is also a good thing.
Potassium?
For blood pressure.
Yeah. So you have to look at, you know, you're going into a this for that thing, right? So when you look at nutrients, you have to look at is an imbalance of nutrients.
Exactly.
So if she's low in potassium, magnesium especially too, they're relaxants, right? So magnesium will relax the vessels. And if there's an imbalance between calcium and magnesium, too much calcium constricts, too much, and magnesium relaxes. So we want to have that nice balance there. Potassium also has that effect as well. But you have to be careful. You don't want to throw things out of balance by picking one electrolyte or one nutrient and throwing it at it because a study showed it, right? So looking at somebody who's on meds for a specific thing, like the berberine has been shown to have the same effect on, a better effect actually, on the blood sugar and the glycogen release in the liver, which is how it works. So you go, okay, let's put this in here while we're working on her root cause, which is the diet and the, you know, stress and the imbalances that she's had created over all these years. Right. So I wouldn't just think about that. I would think about looking at her blood tests.
That's what I was trying to get to is that, you know, look at the potassium and the sodium and
the magnesium. Yeah.
Right. I'm having an issue getting her to get some blood work done. I mean, she's like overdue for her yearly, like what Valerie was saying, you sent a doc to ask her for these specific things.
Mm-hmm.
I even requested an advanced lipid profile because I figured that might be useful in this case.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's on statins and blood pressure medication, and she has diabetes. Absolutely, that's the case where it's totally needed.
Right. Yeah. So, but just getting her, I can't seem to get blood work in my hands just yet. I'm sure it'll come.
She's probably feeling a little overwhelmed, but if she's overdue for her annual, and you can make suggestions as they're probably going to do this, this, and this, but here's a couple of other things that would be helpful. And make sure, well, that she's diabetic already, so it's hemoglobin A1C, or she's insulin resistant. So they probably do insulin, hemoglobin A1C and insulin. But I would say C-reactive protein and homocysteine are super important.
Yeah, that, I put that on the list also. All the inflammation markers, blood sugars, cardiac, you know.
Sometimes, you know, Alan is starting to recommend everybody get a C-peptide. C-peptide will measure the pancreatic, you know, usually they just measure that in diabetics, but C-peptide actually will measure how the pancreas' capacity to produce insulin. Because mostly we're going to see high levels of insulin in these folks, right? But C-peptide is going to just kind of measure how well they're doing. Because if they're heading down that road of type 1 diabetic turning into a type 2 diabetic turning into a type 1 quote unquote, because they need to take insulin. But we also see it the other way. I was talking to, I think it was Annette about this the other day, is that there's so much overlap. If you have a type 1 diabetic, they can become insulin resistant if they're doing what Annette likes to call the eat and cover, right? Just eat a big bunch of crap and then take a lot more insulin, right? And so their receptors get resistant and eventually it doesn't work. So, and they get all the negative side effects of the extra insulin, right? And I have this whole chart, and I had in the presentation the other day, you know, the influence on triglycerides, even sex hormone binding globulin, the influence on thyroid and all the things that insulin causes. So you have those, you know, type one going into a type two type of situation, only worse because they can't produce it and they're insulin resistant and they have to take even higher doses, which means, you know, not such good things for them. So anyway, they're probably doing hemoglobin A1C, and anyway, they probably are not doing insulin. So that would be a good thing to test, the fasting insulin.
Yeah, I took note of that. I didn't think about that one.
C-peptide.
I had a question about the LDH in relation to testing, and, you know, if you're putting together a panel or a suggested list of people.
It's usually in the standard liver. So if they do the standard chem screen, they have the kidney, they have the liver, they have the electrolytes, lipid, thyroid. Their thyroid's minuscule, but that's usually LDH. It's usually in there. AST, ALT, LDH, alkaline phos, GG.
Bilirubin.
Yeah.
But yeah. See, I'm not seeing a lot of people getting LDH done. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
They must put that out.
Huh. That's why I was wondering, because I thought it would be good, especially since it has something to do with the amount of energy that they're feeling, you know, because like you said, they're exhausted, they're fatigued.
Why would they not test this? It's always has been a part of the routine. Is it or is it in general?
I hardly ever see anybody come in with an LDH.
Really? Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because on this side of the test. Yeah, it used to be. And maybe I'm used to what LabCorp used to do, and Quest is a little different. I know Canadian, they just run these really skimpy lab tests, and it's really
hard.
Awful. Canadians,
they're awful.
They're missing three quarters of the stuff you want to be looking at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was why I was wondering, because, like I said, I hardly ever see it.
Is it on Allen's? I haven't looked at, is it, because I just assumed my panel includes his CMP, and I don't know if it's his CMP includes it.
I look.
Because we had to add back in, I like to see total T4, and maybe I'm just weird, but I think that it would be nice to know what the total thyroid output is. If you're looking at all the other numbers, they're just like, is the thyroid actually making what it's supposed to be making? I mean, that's a nice thing to know. Do I, because then I don't know if I have, if I don't know what the total T4 is, but I see a free T4 that's low. I don't know if I have a binding globulin issue, or do I have a problem that we're not making enough T4, so everything's going to be low. You know what I mean? So I like to see the whole chain. Just saying. I don't care about free total T3 as much. But I'd like the free T3 and the free T4 because the ratio. And if you look in the Master Health Tracker, there's a section with that chart, that from Dr. Ryan's chart. And I really like comparing like where they are in that. And I think he did a brilliant job of that research. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Sounds like a complex case.
Yeah, my first client.
Test you. Okay.
We're having a blast. It's going well.
Is this one through Louisa or on your own?
Yes. Yeah. So, and here's the other issue I'm running into is that I'm getting all these people on Medicare and Medicaid. So, you know, out of pocket stuff is just, they're not even willing to entertain that. And Medicare and Medicaid don't cover everything, not like, you know, like my insurance is pretty awesome. You know, I can get all kinds of things paid for. So, you know, it's limiting. So I'm really having to focus on the food.
I think that here's the thing, right? you can get away with not doing any labs on people that come in off the street who are,
that's right.
It's not like she came in and said, I've tried this and I've tried that. I've been to a naturopath. I went to a functional medicine doc. I did this test. I did that test.
Yeah, I'm not getting those.
Easy complex cases, like the ones that, oh yeah, you stopped hitting yourself over the head with a hammer and we're going to see you feel better. Your headache's going to go away.
The ones that it's like, what? You mean there's vegetables that are not in a can?
San Antonio, yeah. Ooh.
Tacos.
Or they think they're potatoes and corn or vegetables.
Potatoes like, and corn and ketchup. Don't forget ketchup.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I remember working with somebody early on. I was working with his wife and she was really getting it, but he was like, and he came into me and he said, I had my fruit servings for today. And he showed me the empty wrapper, like one of those Hostess cherry pies or something. Then he wondered why he got a kidney stone. And then he started listening to me when I started telling him how to get rid of the kidney stone without having to go in and deal with surgery or whatever, or gallstone, whatever it was.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. So I haven't started to work with any clients yet because I just started on PT, but I got one of my girlfriends to do a digestive kind of gut reset with me, like the grand, we're going to follow the grand protocols. And I was wondering, though, just out of curiosity, how do all you guys work with your clients getting the assessments done? How does that, do you do that before your first session? Like, how would you make the process really efficient so you could spend more time face-to-face with the client? Because I did an intake with her. I did, like, a faux session with her. And it means our intake, she talked for, like, a good hour about her health. And that was before we did the assessments. So I was just wondering, like, how do you...
Yeah.
Your time, give the clients enough time to talk and also get the assessments done. Do you guys like do it online? Like,
Yeah. It's a great question. Anybody want to pipe
that
in?
That is a great question.
So I think there's a basic assessment that you have to do before you see anybody. And if you look at the getting to know you form that we have out there, and it's pretty comprehensive and it's going to cover all your areas and it's going to give you the areas that you know, and they feel heard because they're, oh, nobody ever asked me this question before. And then from there, you know, do you need to do the more advanced Candida assessment or do you need to do some of the other things? I wouldn't do like all of the assessments. We tried that in ERC 1 year. Oh my God, what a disaster.
Yeah.
So before you meet with your coach, we want you to fill out, and it was this list of, and like, they're like, you know, 4 months later, like, well, haven't you met with your coach yet? Well, I haven't finished those forms yet. They're too long. So like, okay, that didn't work. But you just do that basic one and you get so much information and then you review it in advance. So best way to do it is online. And you can take with Google Forms now, it's so easy to make forms. And you just take what questions you like out of my thing and what questions you don't, you leave behind. And if you're working with a specific demographic, there's some questions you're going to want to add, right? Yeah. You know, if you're working, if you live in, where was it? What's that state where everybody drinks Mountain Dew and their teeth are all falling out? You're going to ask a lot of dental questions, you know, in that state. Right. But yeah, you can, and then you can create it, make it your own. It doesn't take all that long. You just take my questions, copy paste them, and then add your own and format it however you want. Put your name and logo at the top. And now you have this beautiful form.
That's exactly what I did.
Yep.
So I did a Google form just for the strategy session. So when people schedule that 30-minute pre-call, I have like 5 questions on there. And so, I use Acuity, and so when I get the email, it just has the answers to their questions right in my calendar for them. Mm-hmm. So I use that, and then once they've booked, they pay for that, then they're sent that Google form, and then I fill that, I go through all of that. The other thing I've done is, I have it kind of auto spread out so that after a couple of days after they've signed up, they're sent an email that has their commitment, kind of like what we do with Sweet Spot, you know, how committed are they type of a thing. And then if we haven't met yet, there's something else that I send them. Anyway,
you know, it all automated.
I've got it all, because if they get everything at once, then they're like, I'm not going to, you know, that's they don't right. do anything. And so I just have it spread out like every couple days they get a different thing. And there's only usually like 3 to 5 questions on there. But it
that's for the free thing, not the paid one. But once they
pay. This is after they've paid. After they've paid.
That's the 3 questions?
So, right. So after they paid, they do the whole big, long getting to know you health history form. And so then another couple, 3 days later, I'll send them their commitment to action form.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple, 3 days later, I'll send them maybe, I think was the one of the nutrient forms. And I just kind of spread it out.
Spread it out.
So that we do it a little at a time. And
yeah, we got to set it up like that in ERC for next time. Just spread it out over time. Because if we just tell them to fill them out when they get there, or if we tell them to fill it out at the front.
Well, it keeps them in touch, and they're not just so overwhelmed. They're like, okay, you know, and I let them know ahead of time, this is what I'm going to do. But it's just always kind of keeping what we're doing in the forefront of their mind and in their life. And it just helps it to pace it a little better for them.
Okay. So you do all those assessments, spaced out before you have like the actual first session sort of?
The only one I make sure that they fill out is that, health history form.
Getting to know you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the others can come after, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like she has it spaced so that if like there's a long period of time between, like they have their appointment set up for 2 weeks later. She's got it set up. So after they fill out that one form, she sends them more stuff to just keep them engaged, which I like
exactly.
That idea.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
a good
idea.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Try that.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm also in the ending stage of working on a nurture sequence so that, this is where I'm really grateful for having worked with Dr. Rita Marie because I can see what she's doing, and I just really, I just can see what's going on. And so once somebody has opted in, and I'm actually changing my opt-in because this is what's really important. No matter who you do, it's who are you writing to? Who are you talking to? So the woman I'm talking to is bone sucking tired. She is so tired that just waking up and getting her head up off the pillow is an effort. But she hasn't she knows there's a natural way to work with things, and she wants to work with herbs and that, but she's just so tired. It's like, yeah, right. So my opt-in are 3 herbs that you can put in your water to give you more energy. Mm. Just boom, boom, that's nice. It. And so then, I have it, I've got this all on paper. I haven't done it yet, but then it goes into like 2 or 3 days later, because you can see if they've opened it up. If they've opened it up, then they get the next one, which talks about the importance of water. Just 2 pages, sharing why water is important, and then a hydration schedule. You know, yes, I did take that idea from you. But if they don't open it up, then I just send them another kind of what I call a little love note. Hey, how are you doing? I saw you opted in for it. I don't think you had a chance to look at it. Here's the link again. I really hope you get to look at it and let me know if you have any questions. So anyway, I just really simple things, because the person that I'm writing to, and I have her in my brain and I see her, like I'm writing to her. And it's just little things, kind of like little drop-in notes. How are you doing? And then I'm seeding it all the time. Hey, if you want to check in and talk to me, here's the link, you know, free session, that type of thing. And then the other piece to that is I put together a 3 session package. It's only $97, but they're 3 30-minute sessions. Just to talk about Are you doing these things? Are you drinking your water? Are you taking a 5-minute walk outside? Are you just little things? So it's a really inexpensive way to connect with them.
And then you're offering them to work further with you
after. Oh, yeah.
Okay. How do you get
just
it?
Check in. Just check
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get it to where you know someone's opened an email? How does that work?
So on mine, I've just got tags.
And what are which is the program you're using to do that?
So I'm doing that through my Acuity.
Acuity will keep track of emails?
Or not Acuity, ActiveCampaign, excuse me.
Oh, ActiveCampaign. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah, ActiveCampaign.
And if they happen, they get tagged.
The option is through ClickFunnels. And so they kind of talk back and forth to each other.
I don't know if there's an easy way to tag people when they open, like automatically when they open in Infusionsoft. I mean, they clearly have that marked. We know that because we can see it listed. But I don't know if there's a way to actively... Have to ask Laura.
You have to have some sort of program set up to do that.
You have to have the software to do it in the background. And whatever the database is that you're keeping track of, I use Infusionsoft. She uses ActiveCampaign. I've heard a lot of good things about ActiveCampaign. And there's these things called tags. So when people take action, so if I send you an email, we can spy on you basically. If I send you an email, we can look to see if you clicked on links and which links you do. And I can tag you interested in prostate health, interested in blood sugar, and all these things accumulate. Yeah. I know what you're interested in.
Yeah.
And you can actually trigger, if you click on the prostate health thing, that can automatically trigger a sequence that says, hey, you're interested in prostate health, blah, 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 blah. And they're right. Or then after video, I have it set up in this sweet spot thing where I have 4 videos and I have it set up so that I know how far along in the video. And I have tags that get set that if they watch it to 5 minutes, but they don't make it to 15 minutes, then I can send them an email. So it looks like you got started, but you didn't finish watching the video.
Exactly.
But if they also get to the 15-minute point, then I go, hey, it looks like you watched most of the video. Would you like to see the next video? So this is all new in this. She
what?
Got a rat's nest in that campaign, right?
Kind of scary, that kind of intrusive. It seems like that would scare some people.
There are more intrusive things in the world, Lynn Rose.
Yeah.
Some
of you are on my mailing list for the moon calls. Well, I have, you've been tagged for some of that. And so I have a particular mailing list for those people who are just interested in that. So, I've got my different mailing lists and things like that.
I can check. I mean, I could literally throughout the email. Yeah, they have to click. If you don't click, then I assume you don't interested in it. That's why we can assign a tag every time you click an email. I haven't been doing it in here. Click it because Infusionsoft's busted and it takes like 15 minutes to set a tag and then it crashes my, don't do that. I haven't been doing it here, but I've been doing it with this other program that interfaces that says, oh, you only watched 15 minutes of that, or, oh, you're interested in that.
The other piece to that too is if they've opened it, then, or if they haven't opened it, you can actually send the same email, maybe put a different topic, subject line. And send it to the people who didn't open it.
That's right. And we've been doing that in Sweet Spot. So I send an email out and then 3 days later, right before I'm going to send the next email out, I have my guy go in there and I say, send this to these unopens and here's the new subject line. And that's the only thing they change. And then it may catch their interest with a different subject line.
Well, you know, people get a lot of emails.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have the subject grab them.
Right. And so, you know, they may have gotten it, but they just scrolled right past it.
Exactly. I never did look to see what the open rate was on that. I'm so mad email. Because I thought that was going to get a lot of people.
What is a good open rate?
Well, you know, the bigger your list, the lower your percentage open rate. Because as you grow your list, you're getting people who are not just like your best buddies who love you to death and they're going to open everything you send, right? So it's considered amazing if 20%. It's considered decent if 15%. And it's considered average if 10%.
So mine is about 20%.
Yeah. So you're at that point where you still have this great relationship with people, right? and they're still opening your stuff. If you start to do more like promotions for summits, open rates go down, right? If you try to do some, you know, promotions for somebody's products, the open rates go down. So it's really important to keep, even if you're sending out an email and you have an affiliated thing, is to change the emails. If I were to send out the emails that those summits send me, I would lose everybody, because they're like, you got to get this thing. It's the best thing since sliced bread. Yes, yes, yes. And you don't know. And you're going to have more energy than ever before and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm not sending that email. So I have to sit there and write it like from my own perspective.
Well, you see, that's like, oh, Tom O'Brien sent me that email, and Pedram sent me that same email, and
right.
Rob Helbig sent me that same email, and it's like,
especially with the summits,
summits for sure. But even for my own thing, I was like, an email came in, and I went, that looks familiar. It was like, oh, they're promoting my webinar or whatever.
Can you tag them to unsubscribe?
What do you mean, can you tag them to unsubscribe?
If they just never open it and they're just...
Yeah, you can go back in and unsubscribe them or remove them. And we're going to actually clean up our list after this thing is over.
I spend hours unsubscribing from so many things. I wish they would just automatically unsubscribe me.
You know? Oh, yeah, yeah. Some people do and some people don't. We don't right now, but we are going to set up some sort of campaign where if you haven't opened it in X number of time, we're going to have an automatic email that goes out and say, hey, Lynn Rose, it looks like you haven't been reading my emails. Did we do something to offend you? Can I entice you back? You want to download my greatest hits recipe guide? And then either get them back or not. And I've seen people do that to me where it's like, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. If you don't open this email, then I'm going to unsubscribe you. And sometimes I just leave it. But sometimes it's like, oh, wow, the subject line brought me in. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I want that thing that I'll never read. That'll just sit on my hard drive.
Last chance.
Yeah, last chance. Yeah.
Last chance, right? That's ones. But you go between, you want to nurture people. You want them to feel good. And you have to use persuasive language, but you don't want to sound like a used car salesman. And I have had to edit things that are like, I'm not sending that. Last chance, get this now. You must sign up for this.
You know, sometimes I look at those just when I want a good laugh.
Right. You know what's annoying to me is the ones that, you know, they have the whole system where it, you know, trails down, but they have the little video in there and it lasts like an hour and a half. And you're waiting for them to get to this point that you want. And they don't put the click here now thing until you've gone like an hour.
You can't control it. It's like you want to
But look at that. They got your interest. You wanted to know what they were selling.
Yeah, well, I want to just skip over that and just get to the
buy
end.
It if you want or not. Yeah. I don't like those either. And I've done that sometimes where I'll just go, oh, God, but I'm curious. I wonder what this magical substance is they're talking about. So I'll just leave it in one browser and I'll go to another browser and I'll keep working. And then when I hear it stop, I go back over there and I know the button's going to be there.
Yeah.
I put my buttons up quicker. I don't do that to people. If I'm going to do that and I'm going to start a video, I'll put the buttons up after 10 minutes. You know, why make them wait? But usually I'm pretty straightforward. I just have the video at the top of the page and then the whole rest of the page describes it. Cause I don't like buying something from just listening to it. Because then when I buy it, what did I actually just buy? I don't remember. Right. Well, so I like it when it's this text, you could read it or you could listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot to learn when you get into this other space. There's so much to learn.
Well, and you know, that's why it's really good to go through the practice building success system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes just like in when we work with our clients, we start thinking of the newest, latest, and greatest marketing tool when we should start with the basic pieces, which is why I would say.
Butterflies, bright, shiny objects, and then you don't get anything done because you're just trying to chase this down. And
well,
I've had to beat myself with that.
I'm honestly really tired of hearing people say, work with me and I'll make you a 7-figure business. And it's like, heck, I'm not even sure what it's like to have a 5-figure business, a 4-figure business, you know? And, you know, so that stuff just, I like to stick to the basics. So go through the 6 modules in the practice building success system and just work on those, just like we tell our clients. Are you chewing your food? Are you acting? Are you resting and relaxing? Are you drinking your water? It's like, well, are you doing the 6 pieces for your business in the practice building success system?
Yeah, there's a lot of extras too, but what you said at the beginning was very critical and very important. Know who you're talking to. Because a lot of us go into this, I can help anybody. And you can. You can help anybody. I can help anybody, most people. But that's not what you want to advertise, because people aren't going to be attracted to somebody who's just speaking to the ethers. They're going to be attracted to somebody who's speaking to their pain. So if you're a parent of an autistic child, right, and you get this thing about nutrition for the caregiver and nutrition for the kid and how do you make your home healthy and happy if, as a parent of an autistic child, and you know their pain points, that's what you're nurturing going to be. And you don't have to stick with that forever. You just do it for a while until you get good at it, and then you can go to, oh, I'm tired of that group. You know, I'll let that keep going and I'll go over here. But if you speak to generic, like when I was doing, I think it was for one of our conferences, our Spring into Vitality, 90% of the people, 100% sometimes were females, right? But Scott was giving me a hard time and some other people were giving me a hard time because it said something for tired and exhausted women or something. Well, what about men? Can't you say men and women? I'm like, no, because everything I'm going to do in there is going to talk to the woman. If the man wants to come, then he can come. And we have like 4 men in ERC now. But they're usually, for me, they're the men who are in touch with they're in touch with their sensitive side. They're in touch with their emotional side, right? Because truck drivers don't do well in my programs. I'm not gonna say that about all truck drivers, but the macho man cowboy, you know, those guys are not gonna do well in my programs as we start to talk about getting in touch with your inner healer and
your feminine side.
Nutcases, right? So knowing who you're talking to. And, you know, if you decide you're going to want to focus on depression, think about, is that really what you want to be focusing on? Is that everybody that comes in and talks to you is depressed? It's one thing, some of them are depressed. But if everybody comes in and talks to you is depressed, are you going to get depressed?
But see, that's a condition. And you've taught us not to name a condition with a person. So, you know, you're going to help balance their blood sugar. You're going to help balance a part of their life that affects them that might contribute to it.
Right, but the thing is, if you're talking to people who are experiencing a certain thing, like you said, bone-sucking tired, right? Not everybody's going to relate to that, right? So, but that's a condition, but it's not a like thyroid condition or this condition.
Right.
Nebulous. Same thing with depression. If you're talking to people who are feeling down and they're this and that and the other thing, you have to ask yourself, is that the audience I want to surround myself with? Like I decided I don't want to do menopause because I just don't want a bunch of hot, sweaty, cranky women that's who I'm dealing with. Right.
But you also, your menopause experience is totally different. So the reason I chose who I'm, I remember a couple of years ago going, if I was going to go to somebody and wanted to be coached, what would I want to be working with?
Yeah.
And that's where this all came out of.
Yeah. And we did, like, there was, Tad Hargrave was one of our guys, and he talked about niching without niching kind of thing, like the unniching niching. So it was a guy, he's a hippie dude, and his thing is marketing for hippies. So he's kind of, you know, it's a good thing to relate to.
And that's in
you need to know who you're talking to. Because as I'm sitting down, I oftentimes will think about a person, like who, of all the programs I've ever done, who are the people that I want more of? And I think about those and I just start writing to those people, right? And sometimes I catch myself, oh, but that's going to turn away this group of people. Yes, your language needs to be clear about who you want to turn away as well. Who you want not to join your program. And I tell them up front, if you're a whiner or a complainer and you want to blame other people for your stuff and you want an approach that's just take this for that, go somewhere else because I can't help you. That's not what this program's about. what I'm looking for is people who really want to know. And I like the geeky people who like to know what's going on, right? I like when people really want me to explain, not just say, okay, take this supplement. They want to know.
You know, and if you're going to be doing a lot of computer work with people, you need to be really clear, because you may spend up more time working with people just to get over their tech issues before you even start working on their health. So, you know, if you're going to be doing more in person, then that's not an issue. But
here's the thing that I always make me confused about that. You can answer me. If my method of marketing is via email and my method of presenting is being the crazy complicated webinar jam thing, if they can get through those hurdles, shouldn't they be able to log into the membership site and download a... That's where I get confused.
You would think, but...
I'm not computer savvy, but I've been getting your
email. Okay, guys. So here's a funny. So my one client, she doesn't have a computer.
Oh.
So I was talking to Louise about this. I said, so I'm having to kind of go back and think about, how did I do stuff back in college when we didn't have computers? Because that's where I'm at with this one other client.
Okay. Interesting. So yeah.
I mean, it's like, go figure.
Do they have a phone? Like
yes.
A cell phone?
Yes. But
probably not a smartphone. You probably
she
don't turn
everything face to face. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's comical. You know, I'm having to laugh because it's making me work way harder.
Yeah.
Because I have to, like, print stuff out. It's like, okay, here's your paper.
Oh, I hated that. I used to do that. Like, oh, man. Oops, she froze.
Yep, but, oh, she did. But that is, you know, and that's kind of why I brought it up, because I am hearing some people going, oh,
the only thing I do is go to the book.
Look, whatever she said in that time she was froze, it just came out in fast motion. Did you?
I know it. I saw that.
That was so funny. You froze, and then when you came back, we heard like, so we don't know what you said.
She's like, I don't know what I said either.
Oh, that's funny.
No, it is interesting, because that was my first thought too, but I'm hearing from a lot of people that, you know, well, first of all, they're doing everything like on their phone or on an iPad, and there's a difference. I don't have an iPad or a tablet, so it's difficult for me to even try and understand.
I have to look at Zoom on the tab. It is confusing to do Zoom on a tablet or a phone, because we're here, you see everything across the bottom.
I do it on the phone all the time. It's not, yeah.
Then the tablet's almost the same as the phone.
Well,
yeah, it's
extra pages.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Mm,
just like easier because it's bigger. Yes.
Yeah, well, so I have an iPad and I have an Android phone, and it's easier to have the iPad because it's bigger and.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, sometimes you have to look at your phone if somebody calls and decline it, but if you're in business, but it's nice to be on an iPad. So get yourself one.
I gave you my old iPad.
He did, and one of my children, oh, look. And, you know, I just didn't use it that often, so I was like, sure. And they use it all the time.
Look up stuff, so it would be easier for you to look up stuff while you're on the iPad.
Well, if you have multiple devices, right? And so some people, I'll say, go look over here, and they're like, how do I do that? Then I can't see this anymore. It's like they don't understand the concept of minimizing the window and being able to.
Exactly.
If you have a small, laptop, it's hard. I was on my laptop last week because something was wrong with my computer or whatever, and it was really challenging.
Oh, see, and that's what I have is the laptop.
Yeah, you have this little one like I have, this little baby one.
Yeah, that's my main.
That, it's like I can only see one window at a time. So then having an iPad next to it is helpful.
I see many windows at a time.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to see them because they get so small, and then I can't find the controls.
Well,
I have two huge 23-inch monitors. I have This one over here is the one that I'm not using right now. Like that's my second one. But when I'm doing a slide presentation.
Yeah, it used to be where you could split the screen. I don't think you can do that on a Mac, can you?
You can, I don't know if you can do it. I know on an iPad you can split in two ways, but you can't do like five screens open. Like here I can see all my other screens behind me and I can have like a whole bunch of them open at the same time.
I can't.
Huh. But I think Susan's lucky that the girl doesn't know how to do anything on the computer, because part of the problem is when you're trying to help people is they're looking up stuff and sometimes it contradicts what you're trying to tell them, or they think that they know something now because they looked it up. And yeah. It's not in depth of what we're learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes to the library and looks for books.
Oh, she looks for books, but
you know. Order stuff too.
Well, and that's the issue I'm having is trying to get supplements for her. So right now, Louisa's office happens to be right next to Sprouts. So the best I can do is send her over to Sprouts for stuff. And I literally go over there. I take pictures of what I want her to purchase.
Oh,
and
wow!
I send her the picture, and that we figured. That's kind of how we're limping along, you know.
Well, with the doctor supplement store, what Susan did, she set up her account there, and then she went in and she created a shopping basket for the person that she was going to do it with.
Okay.
And then she just gave it to them, and they could actually only, if they didn't just want to do a phone, they could just call up and say, oh, my number is this. And they go, oh, you're going to have this, this, and this. What's your credit card? Let me take it and then send it off. That might be easier than going to Sprouts and taking pictures. Just a thought.
Hey, I'm sure I can.
Yeah, and then you get a commission.
And then you get a commission, like 20% or something, isn't it? Is it 10%? Maybe it's
10%. It's 10%, yeah.
Yeah. But it's something, you know.
Look at that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I know this was probably way off topic, but I think this has been really good.
I think it was helpful. That's what these are for. It's just for what is going to be helpful for us moving, you know, forward in our business, our skill sets, and yeah.
No matter where you are, because I think everybody on here is at some different stage, whether you're here just for your own health, but it's good to hear how programs run so you're aware as a consumer and what to look for, or if you're just fledgling and budding and practicing with people.
Yeah. So I have a question, and it has to do with implementation. So on the site, we used to have it be so that when you joined, you every month you got a new module opened, and then we changed it to every month, once you finish the test of one, you go to the next. But a lot of people find like, I want to skip to the cardiovascular one because I have somebody with cardiovascular. I want to skip to this or that or the other thing. So if we had all of the modules open when you first got in, would that be crazy and overwhelming? Or could you handle it? And I'm just trying to think of the best way to do it. Right.
I have a comment about that. When I started, and it's been years ago now because it's taking me forever to complete it, the modules were opened at one at a time for a while. What's that been, 5 years ago now? Oh, my goodness. And that worked really well for me because I was very consistent and I moved right along. Then we went to where they were open and you could do as you completed. So then I started skipping around. And as far as completing the course, that threw me all off because I had part of this one that I had worked in and part of that one that I had. Mm-hmm. Now I've taken this time to go back and finish each one of them. So if you're doing it just to have information and data and forms and that sort of thing to help people, fine. If you're doing it to complete the program, I am not one to be consistent enough on my own to be able to jump around. But I do like the opportunity that when I do finish it, I can go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that made any sense to you or not, but I think it has, it's two different ideologies. What are you using it for?
I think what happened was we were doing it that way, and we, you know, we kind of estimated, and we were good for the first few months, and then you come to micronutrients or something, and it's all bets are off because you're not going to finish that in a month, and then the next one and the next one and the next one piles up. But we had one guy who was doing it, and it would get open, and he kept coming along and going, can I have the next module? I'm finished it already. Can I have the next module? I'm finished. Can I have the next module? I'm finished. And we're like, okay.
I just ended up going.
She just gave him all of the modules and said, here, just finish it. And he just went through it.
What was that guy from Korea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't automatically just open it up when you finish
it. It does when you finish the test. But that was before that happened.
Right.
So that's when we switched it. We got the new software. We had a different web host.
I like it that
way. But I like it. You like that finishing thing. And then if you want something, you go, I just got this cardiovascular client. Can you open up the cardiovascular module for me? Then, you know, you can always ask. And he has a form. And click and, okay. So it'd be a pain to change it anyway.
It's like the nutrigenomics. I mean, that's further on, and you're kind of opening that up. So.
That's actually.
No, you got it on the other site.
On the Unstoppable Health Community site. The client site.
So most of the program, or many of the programs over that we have, or many of the modules, have a associated client program. So Angelica was talking about going through Grand, right? So she's not in the CMDS module yet. She's in the Grand part. And we were recommending people, when you first come in, we give you all of those to begin with to start. So is go through all of those modules that are geared towards the consumer and at least get, you know, the terminology, the familiarity, and then be able to understand it. And then you go through the practitioner model, and there'll be repetition, but then there'll be the depth, and it's not like all new at the same time. So we have that for digestion. We have it for adrenals, thyroid, blood sugar, brain, cardiovascular. What else do we have? Musculoskeletal, nutrigenomics.
Reproductive hormone health.
Yeah, so there's about a dozen consumer programs. Some of them we don't offer to the public. We just offer it to ERC their second year. But we've been doing them year after year. So if you want to like get ahead with the cardiovascular, you want to get a little bit of insights, you can go and do that one that's on the Unstoppable Health site.
But they don't interchange as far as, you know, if you do that one, it's going to go into NAPT and show it's done.
No. It's separate, right? Like for some of them that we offer to the public, like for CMDS, which goes to Grand, you can get to it most commonly. Say, oh, this is module X on there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And for some people, it's like, okay, you're not quite ready, you know, at the level where you'd be not sinking over here in NEPP. Get you to go through all the other programs first and then go in. Yeah, because we teach at a pretty deep level. Sometimes I'm shocked, like the liver detox pathways. I'm like, remember we pulled that up for Rich to look at, and we're like, yeah, this is the stuff I teach to the brain fogged, tired, and fatigued people. What was I thinking?
I'm on module 28 now, and I am just going to keep going till I get to what? 34, 36. I think a few of them aren't open yet.
36 is not open.
I think there's three or four right at the very end that aren't open yet.
They're all open. They're supposed to be. Well, you may not. They may be that you're on the mixed thing that they'll open once you finish the one before.
That could be.
The only ones that are not completely 100% finished are 31.
Advanced lab.
I keep adding to it, and I'm like, oh, I have to put this in there. Oh, I have to put that in there. So I should just put it out there and then add to it later. But, you know, the perfectionism, the hypervigilance comes out. And then 36, which is clinical practice. And I think I'm going to do that as a live call, I keep saying. But we'll get there. Nobody's gotten there yet. So.
Yeah.
Or complained about it. Anyway. It was a bigger bunny than we thought was going to be.
The thing is, though, what I keep hearing is there's nothing else like this out there. So,
That's great.
Good stuff. It is.
I think this is a 10-year program.
No. Well, I mean, I never kicked anybody out, so.
There's all these summits. I mean, I have just gone through my email and just done an email purge, unsubscribing purge, and I'm just having to, when these summits show up, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no, no, no.
Right.
Yeah, I'm having to do that too.
Generally speaking, most of the stuff you're going to get on the summit, you've got somewhere in any PT, unless it's some brand new cutting edge thing.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. And right. Because mostly on the summits, it's not real in depth. Each interview is kind of like a superficial covering of what that does, right? I mean, I talk to stuff and I can say the same things over and over again. And I'd be like, wow. You ain't seen nothing yet. Just go and join our program, right? So, and I mean,
and I'm like four speakers a day, but like 4 to 6 speakers a day.
Oh, I know.
Can't keep up with it.
Right.
So the ones ones I'm in, I don't watch anybody else's stuff or my own. I've never seen my own stuff.
Oh, but like Susan, I forbid myself to join anything else till I get through all the modules.
Good for you. Yes, it's that bright shiny object syndrome, and we don't finish. Right. The couple of summits that I was seeing were different that I felt like I really learned a lot from were the Lyme summits, the two Lyme summits. Those are amazing because that like that's not my specialty, and I learned so much from those.
What's that? The burglar?
Dog is flipping around a bone. Cluck, 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 cluck.
How did the Shift Network stuff work out for you?
The first time I did it with them was last summer, and they had me create a program for them. Like, we sat down with all their people, and we created, like, oh, can't we just use one of my programs? Oh, we want to do this and want to do that. And it didn't go well. I mean, it was like, I think we got 45 people or something in this program. And, you know, it was a 297 program and I got, I don't know, 30% of that. So for all the hours I put in, I calculated that I made about $20 an hour. And I'm like, that's not so good. It doesn't pay my rent. So then this last one worked out well because they said, they came to me and said, hey, I like that program. Can we just do it and we'll just send the people to you and we'll do all the marketing and we'll do that. I expected more people to sign up for it, but it's out of their range. They usually do a 297 program. This is a 997 program. We got about 32 people. So, you know, it was okay.
But. Well, and also the Shift Network subjects tend to be more ephemeral. They're not so physical.
Yeah, they're more the emotional, the energetic, that kind of stuff. So it's a different audience. Yeah.
Right.
I should have renamed the program. What can we name it with a nice woo-woo name that would have gone over with them? But I don't tend, you know, I'm really into this, like the Laura Fine stuff, but it's the practical woo-woo. Like Laura says, I'm not woo-woo. People think I'm woo-woo because it's energy, but it's not. It's based in science. It's based in psychology. And I'm not against anything else, but I'm just saying that that's where my background comes from. So I wouldn't feel comfortable. Like I edited an email that Laura had given me a skeleton of to send. Like, I'm not talking about auric field. Sorry. It's just not in my language, you know, and I took out a bunch of stuff that was a little like, you know, it just wasn't like, it wasn't me enough. Right. So I'm the geek with the woo side.
Yeah. I have one more question.
Yeah.
Lynn, I asked you this week about opting into the or applying for the ERC coaching, like, you know, as an NEPT student, I can do some coaching practice for the client programs. I didn't know about that. I just got an email. I thought, ooh, I'll try it. So has anybody here done that? And like,
yeah, almost started. Everybody has done the ERC piece or are doing it.
Yeah, coaching. It.
Yeah, as ERC coaching. I think you're not quite far enough along for ERC, but next year. But the others, like once you get through, if you get through your CMDS program or you get through the insulin resistance, then you could, you know, even while you're working through it, we could assign people. Like right now, insulin resistance would be ideal. Like some of the people who need extra help, but they haven't invested in extra help, we could say, well, we have somebody that can help you support you Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to word it in such a way that they don't, you know, I don't know, that they don't think, oh, good, I don't have to pay. I just, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, we have the certified coaches who do it, right? And then to get your certification, you need some cases. Like your CMDS, you've got this person you're going through. So, like, keep track of everything that you're doing with them because you can apply it to your case study for that. Yeah. Okay. With the ERC, I think, because we'll choose more ERC coaches again in, like, for this one's going to start probably in July or August, right? So it depends. Like, Lynn Rose has only been in the program for a short period of time, but she had 15 years as a nurse and a homeopath and an herbalist and all that, right? So she was in there. And it may be possible, actually, by the time August comes around. Like, you seem very, like, it may totally be possible because Susan was, you were only in a year when you did it, right? Yeah. But we recognize people, like, the more you come to these calls and you start asking really cool questions and we go, huh, she'd be really good. Cause I think from a, you know, cause you have Laura's stuff. So you'd be awesome as a junior coach. We have a junior right. coach and a senior coach for each ERC group. You'd be awesome as a junior coach working with somebody who has the experience because you have that ability, right, to the connect. And by then you'll probably have been through a whole bunch more of Laura's courses.
Right.
To be helpful. So we'll keep you in mind for sure.
Okay. You know? And she's got a nutrition background.
That's mm-hmm. right. She does. She has a degree in dietetics. Yeah. Yeah. So might actually be good for ERC this time.
Well, okay. And also since we're talking certification, you know, if people haven't looked at their certification, you'll see for the full NEPT, it requires you to be coaching through one of our programs.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the reason for that, it's kind of like, you know, when you're a medical doctor going through school, they don't just say, oh, you've got a degree, go out and practice, right? Mm-hmm. Or practice on some other people and come back and tell us about it. No, you're doing it in our clinic and we're going to watch you and we're going to grade you and you're actually going to pay us to do that.
Well, and then part of the application process to be a coach is to have a video or audio recording of you talking with somebody. So it can be you talking with your friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only like 20 minutes and you can do it on your phone. You can, you want to do it on Zoom or whatever, you can do that. So we can hear how you do that.
Right. Cool. Okay. I'll do that. I'll start taking detailed notes in my cases. Yeah. I need to help my sister. So I know I'm going to get tons of digestion clients. I could already tell.
There you go.
What you're like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I think it could be great. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like Martha, you know, if you want to apply, it's on your certification page.
Okay. I'm sitting here.
Yeah, we have to do a better job of letting people know in advance. Hey, we're going to be opening up applications for the ERC because usually we're like, oops, we forgot to let everybody know, and now we're scrambling trying to find people at the last minute. So that's not a good thing.
That's a good goal.
Yeah. 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 And the same thing with Sweet Spot. It would have been a good idea to take people who have not finished their certification, but are in the process and say, hey, we're looking for people to get some of your credits and do some. It's not too late, but I just don't have the bandwidth right now to get out there and do it. But it really, you know, practice is the biggest thing. That's why they call it practice, right?
Oh, and it's mentorship.
I've practiced for 27 years. Like, oh, yeah. You're still practicing after 27 years, right? Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's a great place to get mentorship.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you practice your skills, but you also, through this mentorship, see how a program is run. You get comfortable with being online like this and doing all the computer things and it gets the gears going in your mind going, huh, how could I do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, the other thing about it is like, you're going to get more complex cases when you come and you work with us because we, you know, it's a high-end program. We charge a lot for it. And these are people who are like, they've been searching for a long time. Now we get some people who haven't been and they're just wanting to, you know, get in the group, and they've heard good things about it. But most people have been searching for answers for a long time, and they're willing to invest. And so you're getting the people who have been to 5 naturopaths and 4 acupuncturists and, you know, a partridge in a pear tree. And they're like, can you help me? Right.
Yeah. I heard some of the calls today on the open,
office hours.
Fascinating stuff. I mean, I loved what I was hearing. It just got the wheels turning.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Those office hours are cool to be on because there's all the different programs coming together, and I just got to get people to tell me what program, because when they write in and I go, what resources do they have? I don't know. Are they in TRT? Are they in Body Balance, where they have access to everything, or ERC? Oh, I know the ERC people.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I know. Although I wasn't sure that Susanna was the same Susanna.
It is.
Because she hasn't come to our group calls. And that's why I was like, Susanna, you got to come to our call and have your labs, and I'll go through these with you. But whose group is she in?
She's in Annette Neves.
And yeah, because they were saying how challenging it is.
She had come to one a month or so ago, but that was like the very first time. But yeah, I noticed a different tenor to her voice, like more of, honestly, it's more like, okay, I'm on my knees here, please. I'm just so tired. I need to figure this out.
What I find is there's a lot of times when the coaches in ERC are dealing with people and they explain to me how difficult this person is and how this person complains. And then when I work with them, they're like...
intimidating.
They want to be on their... I'm not intimidating, I don't think. But they want to be on their best behavior, you know? I don't know what it is. But like Karen Marion... Like, I remember she writes all this stuff, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want to have this call with her. And I get on the call, and she's all, oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's really come a long way.
Oh, boy.
And a lot of times, like, these people will come back, and you go, why did this person come back? Like, did this really person sign up again after they were complaining, like, last year? But they realize, you know, and through the coaching and through using, you know, some of the interpersonal stuff that – that's really where their physical illnesses are coming from, is this mind thing. And when we had that mindfulness call last week was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And it was the best call, and I wasn't prepared for it because I didn't do any slides, and I think that was better.
Yeah.
But it was amazing because people really got in touch with the depth of their, how their thought processes and their emotions are affecting their physical body. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. And we have somebody lined up for the end of May to come in and do, she's an expert in tapping, and she actually focuses on like emotional eating and cravings and that type of thing.
Who is it?
Her name is Bernie Bowman. It's somebody that I know through my tapping studies.
Because people need that, you know, the emotional eating piece. Like we had brought Patricia in because I think you're going to he deal with people all the time that have that. And if you don't know how to approach it and how to relate to them, right? When Tricia started to, I thought I was like the world's worst emotional eater until Tricia started telling me yes. And I dumped the bag out into the garbage. I said, enough's enough. And then an hour later, I was fishing through the garbage to pull the food back out. I'm like,
I've done that.
Hey, I mean, I haven't done that, but we made Donna melt her. Remember, she had her on a call, and she said, "What are you going to do?" I found the ice cream bar in the back of the freezer, and it's calling to me. And I feel like part of me just says, "I just have to eat it and get it over with." But I know if I eat it, I'm going to want more. So we said, "How about if you get rid of it? What's the best way to get rid of it?" She goes, "Oh, you have to turn the faucet on and." Melt it.
Kill the ice cream. Well, it's an ice cream bar, so when you put the hot water on, it's going to make that chocolate cookie crumb, whatever that thing is, melt too.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Not that I have
personally. I don't know if you've ever had the experience. I don't think I've ever melted a bar. I've just eaten it and said, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Well, but an ice cream bar is that, like a cakey thing. So
it's usually a candy like thing, isn't it?
No, that's a fudge bar. That's a fudge bar.
Cake with ice cream in the middle.
Is that what she was talking about? I thought she was talking about a popsicle pop that has the ice cream in the middle and the chocolate on the outside.
That's a fudgicle.
Oh. No, fudgicle is chocolate all the way through. I know my ice cream. Guys, don't argue with me about ice cream. I know my ice cream. Who here has ever eaten 5 pints of Baskin and Robbins at one sitting?
The Eskimo pie is
that's impressive.
Maybe, yeah. I used to be able to eat the whole Domino's pizza by myself. Like the large kind.
Wow.
I still could too.
Mine was a loaf of bread. Oh God.
A loaf of bread. Oh, that's easy to eat a lot of.
Well, if it was French bread, maybe.
It was good bread. It was worth it, but
yeah.
It didn't feel too good after.
Oh, I can't go anywhere without saying I eat this. It's not going to support my health.
So the temptations, I found that after a while it did go away. So now if I do get I'm not sleeping and I'm really frustrated and I need to eat something, it's like almond butter. I'm going to put some vanilla stevia in it. I'm going to stir it around and I'm just going to eat it with a spoon. I'm going to be really decking in here. That's about as, where it goes. Or the good old chocolate, the raw cacao.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll add the raw cacao to the almond butter and a little MCT oil to make it thinner. And the nibs.
There was one time, it was like 7 or 8 at night, and I hadn't eaten all day. And I said, I have to go make myself something to eat. And you told me, it's too late. You might as well just fast the rest of the day. So, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's today?
No, this is last year sometime, but every time it gets to be late and I know I'm going to be staying up, I hear Dr. Eatery's voice going, it's too late, just,
I know, all those rules, Rita Marie rules.
It's
going to be a fasting day.
3 hours of going to bed, so if I have a craving at midnight, I know I'm up till 3.
Well, that's not what you told me. Because I knew I was going to, you were just like, it's too late.
I knew that wasn't the right thing to do, but I'm saying when I'm like super busy and it's like, midnight, I just want something to eat. I don't want to do this anymore. You have at least 3 hours more work to do. Just go eat.
I was going to eat a salad.
You need to make a subliminal tape.
That'd be good.
And look, husband tries to serve me oranges and he says, well, they're healthy. And I was just like, no.
Not for me.
No, there's no protein with it. It's after 8 o'clock. No.
Yeah. No, I do. I hear that.
Right, guys. It's late. It's 9:30 already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for a great call. I love when we can just, connect and share and grow. And it's not just about the intellectual growing in the clinical skills, but it's about that interpersonal and how we do things. And I'm excited. So,
well, we covered it all because we started with Susan's case. And then we, Angelica came in with her questions, which brought in the business side. And then we ended up with the emotional part. So,
true confessions of emotional eaters. Okay.
This was really good.
Right? You take the big mixing bowls, like you'd make a cake batter in it when I was younger, but big mixing bowl, you fill it with ice cream. This is question 101 when I was in my 20s. Fill it up with ice cream, can of whipped cream.
Oh, yeah.
Can of Hershey syrup.
Yep.
But then you have to make it healthy. So a couple of bananas and some strawberries.
Yep.
My God. But, we all.
And then you mix it because it gets kind of like that soft pudding.
It was delicious. And, maybe nuts, if I had nuts, So I had the fruit and the nuts on there, right? So you could justify it as a healthy meal.
That's like saying a pizza's healthy. You get your vegetables.
Yeah, tomato sauce on it. Yeah, that's what I showed in one of the presentations this week. Here's the vegan pizza. Like, that's not exactly a healthy meal.
Yeah.
White crust with melted soy cheese, and instead of pepperoni, it had little bits of tomato. Like, I got to tell you this. I just got to tell you this. I saved this. Somehow this thing came to my text, my message, and it said, the best keto pizza. And I'm like, oh, quick and easy keto pizza. So I go there, and the first thing he's doing is weighing out how much mozzarella cheese, pepperoni, and the crust was at least like almond flour crust. Mm. Yeah. And I'm like, what's healthy? And people are buying the vegetable. Well, he put on, I think he sprinkled on a few tomatoes. He had a jar of tomato sauce, turned it out. Like there was nothing fresh on this thing.
Which is actually a fruit.
Presenting it as, this is your healthy, your guilt-free keto pizza. Like, have you ever seen my pizza? I can make you a guilt-free pizza. I have to make one for the pot. I never make them for the potlucks because there's too many people to serve and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Good night. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Okay, come to my workshop on Saturday. Workshop on Saturday.
What workshop is that?
I'm going to send the email out. That's what I have to go to.
it just went out.
It's a workshop called Insulin Resistance, Find Your Sweet Spot and Whatever. And it's like an all day kind of thing. Like you go from 10 to, or what is it, noon to 5?
I think it's 12 to 5.
12 to 5, yeah. And I have brought on some guests and it's trying to get people excited about all the stuff they've been hearing. But to have, because these webinars, I feel like I have to go at the end because I'm like, I have to finish. And I have way more to say. So I wanted to have a leisurely time to be able to do that and bring some guests in to attract some more people in, bring some of the coaches in and talk. And so we'll see how it goes. I've done them in the past and they've been amazing. I mean, last year we had 1,200 people at the beginning and 900 people at the end. Like, and that went long. That went like 7 hours.
Well, there was one you did that was 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a 2-day one. That one we charged for. We actually charged them $50 for it. But yeah, people stayed on the whole, we had an average of 300 people on the entire 2 days. Mm-hmm. And that was our offer for sweet. That's when we got all the people sign up for ERC because they had that connection. And that's what I'm hoping with this is they're going to get more of an intimate connection. I'm going to be in my living room. Scott's going to be filming me and we'll have an intimate connection with these people who they go, yeah, I need the sweet spot. Let me do it.
So you can make a real healthy vegan pizza.
Oh yeah. You've never seen my real healthy chicken pizza?
Oh, I have. I'm saying there you can on that show.
Oh, I did a Facebook Live doing that last year. Mm-hmm. I took the cauliflower crust, and then I took cashew cheese. But I always smother the whole crust with chopped up kale, and then I put the cheese over it so people don't even see the kale. And then I put the cheese and the sauce all fresh made, and then I put some veggies on top and. Voila, we have a beautiful pizza and it looks great. You can look on my Facebook, you'll see it. It's so easy to make. And, you know, plant-based keto is easy to do.
I like to do that with Karen's, that lentil bread that she made last year at the ERC live stream.
Yeah, that's a little more work because you have to soak the lentils and do all that. I've learned to cheat. But my pizza crusts are normally things that take a lot of work. It's usually like a, I'll do a Brazil nut. I don't even do flax. I don't remember what my pizza crusts are. I have a whole bunch of them. But I make a nut and seed-based crust and then put it in the dehydrator and then put all that stuff on. But this, or I make it with cauliflower. I did that on that show that we did in January on breads and stuff. And I did a cauliflower. That was so divine. That was so amazing. I got to go back and find that recipe so I can repeat it. Whatever I put in, it was really good.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Oh, it was really good.
All right. I'm going to go to bed.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4 of us from Austin here. 5 of us from Texas here.
Martha's East Coast, so it's 10:30 for her.
Oh, boy.
Sleep, girl. Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, Valerie.